by May 1st. You can leave them on the table as you go today. Also wanted to let everybody know that Family Promise families are with us this week beginning today. We can always use more help with that. If you feel like you can help this week or maybe the next time we're a host church, please reach out to Marilyn Clugston, whose contact information is in your bulletin. The Connect card is in here. If you're here for the first time today, welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us for worship. We would like everyone, whether you're here for the first time or a longtime member, to take the opportunity to fill that out and pass it in later in the service. It's useful to us in our ministry here at Trinity. So let us know you were here and how we might be able to serve you via that Connect card. Time now for our mission box, and we have with us this morning Andy Davenport, who's from Young Life here in Gainesville, to tell us more.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me. I get to serve as the area director for Young Life here in Gainesville. Young Life is a ministry that's been around for 75 years and here in the city of Gainesville for over 50 years. Our hope is to share the greatest story ever told, the story of Jesus and his love for us, with teenagers and college students, the lost, disinterested, unchurched teenager and college student. We have teams of college students and some adults that go into the lives of teenagers at these schools that you're looking at right here on the screen. We're in four middle schools, one high school, and at the University of Florida campus. Our dream is to be in every school in Alachua County. You know, there's around 15,000 middle and high schoolers. Currently, we have around 50 volunteer leaders. We know if we have around 300 leaders and each of them know 50 kids each, we could share the story of Jesus with every middle schooler and high schooler in Alachua County. Well, one of the ways we love to do that is not just by doing it on a Monday or a Thursday or a club that we gather together, but we take them to camp. Young Life camps are around the country, and we want to take this summer, we are taking three trips, two to camp in North Georgia and one here in Florida with high schoolers and middle schoolers. For the east side of town, we will need to raise around $10,000 to underwrite the cost of camp for those kids. They're working for it. They're earning their way there. But there's still so many expenses and an additional $10,000 for us to send our leaders, which are college students who are going to live that week with them, who've been walking with them all year long. Would you consider joining us in this? Would you consider sending a kid to camp this summer? Make an eternal impact in that way. We're grateful for all you do in this community. Pray for the mission of Young Life. Encourage Young Life leaders when you see them. And as you leave today and you pass the mission box, if God's stirring in your heart for that, we'd be honored if you'd partner with us in taking a kid to the foot of the cross. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Andy. Appreciate it. So, yes, please, as you do every Sunday, give it to mission boxes found at the back of the worship center on your way out this morning and support Young Life. Alice.
Hello, I'm here to talk to you about Dan and Jan's retirement celebration, which will be on Saturday, June the 4th at 11 o'clock in the morning. We are going to have a nice service for Dan and celebrate all of his accomplishments, give him some awards and presents, and then we're going to have a party outside under a big tent, and we're going to have barbecue lunch. We would love for you all to be able to come. You're all invited, but we need to know how many of you are going to be able to make it so that we know how big a tent to get and how much food to order. So if you would do us the big favor of going on our website, which is pictured here, trinitygnv.org. At the top, you'll see the regular homepage, and then if you scroll down a little ways to the picture of Dan and Jan, you'll see a button right underneath where it gives you a place where you'll be able to go to let us know how many people from your family will be joining us for the dinner. It's actually a lunch. And then there's also a place for you to volunteer to help us set up, serve, or clean up. There's a place for you to give a gift toward our group gift for Dan and Jan, a gift toward the Asbury and Moscow Theological Seminaries, which is a gift that we are giving to them in honor of Dan's retirement, and just a gift to help defray the cost of the celebration. That's all right there on that link where Dan and Jan's picture are. We're also going to be celebrating with them the following day, Sunday, June 5th, which is Dan's last Sunday with us. The two events will be very different, so if you can come to both, please do. Of course, you don't have to RSVP to come to church, but we'd love for you to RSVP to come to the party so we know how many to expect for this big event. thank you so much for your help with this, and we're all looking forward to this event. And now, welcome home. Why are we here?
As an act of worship, let us declare our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
celebrate the sacrament of baptism with the Arison family. We want to invite Michelle and Nick Ford and Dick's sisters Mackenzie and Brooke for the baptism of Olivia Rose Arison. And Michelle was a part of the children's ministry team for a couple of years, so this is a special day for her and her family. And would you all like to come and stand right here, the grandmothers? Would you like to stand on the altar there? Okay.
Well, good morning. It is such a privilege to be a participant in Olivia Rose's baptism this morning. And while we're waiting for Lenora to light candles and everything, I will like to ask you these questions as Olivia Rose's parents. On behalf of the whole church, do you reject all that is evil, repent of your sin, and accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Olivia in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Pray a blessing over the water. Eternal Father, your mighty acts of salvation have been made known through water. From the moving of your Spirit upon the waters of creation to the deliverance of your people through the flood and through the Red Sea. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and Olivia Rose who received it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Brooke's holding, her sister Brooke is holding the water, and Mackenzie is going to say her name. Now, this might be a dangerous thing because they usually start crying, but can I hold her? All right. Well, good morning, sweetheart. Yeah. This will be over quickly, I promise. Yeah, go ahead.
We present Olivia Rose Arison.
Olivia Rose, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. And the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, work within you that having been baptized, born through water and through the Spirit, you may grow to become a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's it. Come over. You're going to keep crying, aren't you? Well, brothers and sisters, this is your new sister in Christ, Olivia Rose Arison, and she's telling you all about it this morning. When you say hello, look, let them say hello to you. You see? They're clapping for you. Those lights are cool, huh? Yeah. Well, we welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Here you go, Dad. And let's sing to Olivia this morning.
Jesus loves you, we do too. Prepare a place for you, where you'll grow in faith so strong, and you'll serve with all my soul. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you.
That's awesome, isn't it? I'd like to invite now, before we go into our time of prayer together, Jim Nylon and Rick Kane to join me up here. They are the co-chairs of Trinity Staff Parish Relations Committee, and this is Announcement Sunday in the Florida Conference, which means around the conference where there are pastoral appointments or pastoral changes being made, we're able to share some news. So they have some news for us this morning.
Well, it's always difficult to the after of baptism, which is such a beautiful moment in the life of a family and a church. But Rick and I are privileged to be co-chairs of the staff parish committee, and we have welcomed our new ministers for the next year here at Trinity. As you will recall, about 2 weeks ago, Dan introduced our new senior pastors, Catherine and Steve Price, and we have more good news today to share with you. Both the staff parish committee and the transition team were unanimous in our efforts to the bishop and the superintendent to have Aaron with us here, Reverend Aaron with us here at least another year. Aaron's done a fantastic job here at Trinity. And will be a key member in the transition going forward. You may recall that Reverend Esther, who was with her, with Aaron when they came, moved to a different church and was appointed to a different church, and we did not replace her. In part, that was because of keeping our options open so that we could have potentially the ability to have Steve and Catherine appointed here at our church, and we were able to keep that line item open. And thanks to good fortune, that has in fact actually happened. They have been appointed. In addition to Dan retiring very soon, there's been also some other recent retirements. Jim Cook, who most of you know, as well as David, Reverend David Leonard and Rosemary Davis, have all resigned here within the past few months, all of them in pastoral care. And we've been fortunate since they've retired to have Lenora with us as a seminary student, who has picked up a lot of the slack regarding pastoral care and has done an outstanding job. I think any of you who have had contact with Lenora in any of these capacities, my contact has been I'm taking a Holy Spirit class that she's teaching and doing an outstanding job. And I'm sure if you're interacting with her, she's doing an outstanding job there as well. So in May, which is right around the corner, Lenora will be graduating from seminary. Yay! And she will be available and is available for appointment by the bishop.
It was a strong feeling of the Staff Parish Relations Committee that if possible, we have one person that's assigned all the duties and responsibilities of the people that Jim just mentioned that have retired. So we asked the district superintendent, if possible, to appoint Lenora as one of the pastors at Trinity. And the DS and the bishop both agreed that this was a fantastic idea. So we're extremely excited about the pastoral team that God is assembling here at Trinity and believe that great days are ahead for our church. Trinity is, once again, a trailblazer, as this is the first time in the history of the Southern, of the Florida Conference and possibly all of United Methodism that two clergy couples have been appointed to serve the same congregation. 2 weeks ago, Dan mentioned to our confirmands and all of us, oh, the places that you will go. And with that, we join Reverend Dan in saying to Trinity, oh, the places that we will go. Now let us express our gratitude to God and our excitement to Lenora and Aaron.
And I have one last thing that I want to ask all of you, and that is that we continue to pray for our transition in this time when Dan is leaving and the new Catherine and Steve are coming on. I ask you to pray individually in your private prayer times. I ask you to pray in your corporate worship for this transition. I would ask you to pray for us as a congregation that we be accepting and loving and encouraging of all these people who have a difficult job to do, nurturing us through to find the will of God in our lives and the Holy Spirit in our church. I ask you to pray for Dan and Jan, who are moving on to a different phase of their life and will be facing a serious transition, to take them through in a good way so they can find their next step and do it gracefully and help them to do that. Of course, we pray for Steve and Catherine that they will come into our church and continue to lead us as a Spirit-filled church, that we will follow God's direction and the Holy Spirit that He's giving us. We ask you to pray for Aaron and Lenora, who have done so much already, but will continue to work hard in this transition and trying to help Steve and Catherine get into the flow here. And I also ask you not to forget and pray for the staff, who probably has the biggest job in absorbing this change and this transition, because Dan has been here so long and they're used to the ways, his ways, and so I ask you to pray for them as they face this change going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick and Jim, very much for your leadership of the Staff Parish Relations Committee. Trinity is very fortunate in all of our committees to have such fine leaders like Jim and Rick. And I would just like to say on behalf of Lenora and myself how thrilled we are to be appointed to Trinity for this coming year. And I feel it's like for such a time as this kind of moment in the midst of this transition for me to be here. And as a clergy couple, soon to be a clergy couple, when Lenora's commissioned the annual conference in June, you know, the bishop and the district superintendents, they have a challenge that they have to keep us within a 50-mile radius of one another. And the options, there were other options for Lenora, but I felt very strongly because of the way that I've been nurtured these past 3 years as your associate pastor, finding my way as a pastor for the first time, that Lenora would benefit from being here too. And so I'm very glad for that opportunity for her. So now we have the opportunity to go to God in prayer, as Jim invited us to. We have, I'd like to bring up the slide if I could. These are the folks that our congregational care team are visiting in the hospital and rehab and hospice. If you don't see a name up here that should be up here, or you feel should be up here, please use your Connect card to let Lenora and the congregational care team know so that these persons can be added to our visitation rotation. If you have other prayer requests, a prayer card is on the back of the Connect card. You're invited to let your prayer requests be known, and we will be adding those to the list and praying for those things as well. And I know you came through the door with joys and concerns of your own this morning, so let us unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, we pause in the midst of this worship, this service this morning, to thank you for this day, the gift of new mercies, and we rejoice and are glad in this day that you have set before us. We gather, God, in your name, and we pray for healing for those who are in need of physical, spiritual, emotional healing, those whose names have appeared before us here this morning, those whose names remain in the quiet of our hearts. And we do pray, God, for all of the transitions that are being announced around the Florida Conference this morning, all the churches where there are pastoral changes being made. We do acknowledge that change and transition is often not easy, and so we pray for all involved. As far as our church, this beloved church you have called Trinity here in Gainesville, we do pray for Dan and Jan. We pray for Steve and Catherine. Lenora and I just praise you for the opportunity to be a part of this transition. We pray for our Trinity staff and for our church. And we ask that you prepare our hearts for what you have for us as we seek to become more fully the church that you are calling us to be to Gainesville and beyond. May we continue to do your work in the world like we did last week, building a home in Islington, Jamaica for Andrea and her family. As we provide temporary home for these family promise families that will be joining us today. As we go to El Salvador next week to drill a well and provide life-giving water to a community there. as we also continue to figure out how to address this need of Syrian refugees in the world. The Pope invited us to reflect on how we can be a part of that effort, and I believe that this is a defining moment for the church in the 21st century, with millions having been displaced by acts of terror from their homes. May we figure out how to be the church around the world to provide for their every need. And we also want to remember our brothers, Jack Brown and Bill Buhai, who are in Ecuador, where this 7.8 magnitude earthquake happened, and they were supposed to fly out today, but the airport is closed. And so we pray for all of those who are dealing with the earthquake there. We pray for our friends' safe return, and that you, while they are there, that you use them in mighty ways as they are your humble servants. And so in this hour, as we give this time to you, O God, to glorify you and honor you, we pray that you edify us by having us in your presence and with one another. Change our hearts and lives through the word that Lenora has for us this morning. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
My life.
Thank you, Trinity Dancers. And as they make their way off the stage, ushers, would you please come forward as we prepare to worship God with offering this morning. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good thing in our lives, and as we give back to you now from what you first gave to us, we pray, God, that you multiply these tithes, these offerings, for the good of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray.
Well, I am absolutely ecstatic that I get to be here as a pastor, one of your associate pastors. I'm also equally excited to share God's word with you today. And our text comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, and we're going to be reflecting on Abram's call and the changes that it brought about in his life. But before we dive into the text, let us go to God in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scripture is read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. All right, so our text, like I said, comes from Genesis 1 through 12. Hear now the word of God. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife, Sarai, and his brother's son, Lot, and all the possessions they had gathered and all the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have a confession to make, but before I do, I want to ask you a question. Have any of you ever envied someone? I mean, really envy someone. Throughout my life, I have often envied Abram, who later became known as Abraham. So if I happen to interchange their names today, forgive me, they are one and the same person. Growing up in a Jewish household, Abram was one of my childhood heroes. In fact, I thought of him as a superhero with supernatural faith. And he was right on up there with Moses and Joshua and King David and Daniel. As I began discerning a call to ministry, my envy only grew. I can't tell you how many times at the beginning I remember praying, Lord, if you could just appear and speak to me, you know, out loud like you did with Abram. Ooh, or better yet, light a bush on fire and then I will know that you want me to do this, and I will go. It would be so much easier. But of course, it wouldn't have been, and I just got this sense that God was shaking his head, and that still small voice would rise up within me, and it would be, Lenora, really? Do you remember how long I argued with Moses after the burning bush? If it were easy to answer my call, it wouldn't take faith now. After all that our family has experienced the last 7 years in ministry and in seminary, I can honestly say that I don't envy Abram anymore. Now, when I read this passage, now I see a kindred soul, and I see a mentor. I see a man who God called in the wake of his father's death to leave his country and his kindred and his family to go to a land I will show you. I see a family who was called to leave behind everyone and everything that was familiar to them to go to some unknown destination with nothing more to cling to than God's promises. And the more I read this passage, the more I have come to truly appreciate the communal aspect that is deeply woven in to the fabric of Abram's call. You see, beyond Abram, there are those I've named the forgotten called. There's Sarai, and there's Lot, and there's all those who were required to go with Abram because, well, frankly, because he owns them. And then there's all those unnamed who were left behind. Each of these individuals and the communities that they represented were all called to join in God's mission. Abram's response was certainly the focus of our text. But Sarai and Lot and all those who journeyed with him helped to make his response possible. Just like all those who have journeyed with us have helped to make my response to God possible. Abram certainly could not have become the father of a great nation without his wife, Sarai, who gave birth to their son 25 years after this first conversation with God. She was 90. I'm a mom of three. I cannot imagine what that was like for her. Nor could Abram have made the journey to Canaan at the age of 75 without a community helping support him in that process. I could not have gotten here without Aaron's love and support, or without the community of you all supporting me. And the truth is, we all have a unique, yet equally interdependent role to play in God's redemptive mission. At various times in each of our lives, sometimes we are called to go, and sometimes we are called to stay. Sometimes we are called to lead, and sometimes we are called to support, to speak out, or to stay silent, to be present, or remain prayerfully anonymous. But one thing remains certain. Our call is never static. God is always moving us onward, in stages, if we continue to respond to God's grace. And faith is required each and every step of the way to press onward. The kind of faith Hebrews 11:1 describes as an assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. The kind of hope and faith that is not merely optimism. In a meditation called Living with Hope, Henry Nouwen wrote these words: optimism is the expectation that things, like the weather, human relationships, the economy, our political situation, and so on, will get better. Hope is the trust that God will fulfill God's promises to us in ways that lead to true freedom. The optimist speaks about concrete changes in the future. The person of hope lives in the moment with the knowledge and trust that all of life is in good hands. For Abram, his hope and faith were rooted in his personal encounter with God and promises that God made him to bless him, to make his descendants, to bless all people, all families, all humankind through him. Abram believed in God. Abram believed God. And he believed his life was in good hands. All that said, I suspect that Abram couldn't even begin to imagine, let alone fully grasp, all that this truly meant. And so, he went. As John Wesley puts it, Abram was being asked to trust God farther than he could see him, and he did. Exactly 3 years ago, our family experienced our own opportunity of going where God was leading. At that time, Aaron was preparing to graduate from seminary, and he had just received news that he was being appointed here as one of your associate ministers here at Trinity, and we were elated. As exciting as all of that was, it did mean that we had to leave behind the church where we had served side by side leading worship for over 7 years. The place where two of our three children had been born and baptized. the place where we had both discerned and begun to answer a call to ordained ministry. We left behind family and friends. I left behind a ballet studio that I had founded in our church and grown to over 120 students in a few years. I had four teachers that taught with me, and I had the opportunity to create five original ballets that all reflected biblical tales using imaginary lands and magical creatures and tutus. Oh, lots and lots of tutus. And it was good. It was very good. But we let go. We answered God's call. We packed up and we headed to Gainesville with high hopes for all that God had in store for us here. We unpacked, we found creative ways to get five people crammed into a three-bedroom apartment, and we participated in all the welcoming activities, and it was great. Well, it was mostly great. The truth is that the transition for me and the kids was not as simple or as easy as I thought it was going to be. One Sunday, early in August, I can remember sitting in worship. I was right over there in that section about 8 minutes back. And from the moment the prelude started in the 9:40 service, tears just started to flood out of my eyes. I couldn't stop them. They just streamed down my face. And as we stood there singing the hymns, I couldn't really sing. And I really was just crying out to God, feeling utterly abandoned and lost. I missed serving with Aaron. I missed feeling like I had a place to serve. And I missed everything about the life we had left behind. Cindy Kappen, who many of you all know, was an angel that day. We got to the greeting time, and I had just tears still streaming, so I was trying not to greet anybody and just kind of hide. She came over, and she didn't say much. She just sat down by me. Tears kept streaming. They didn't stop, but she would just pat my head a couple times throughout the sermon. And at the end of the sermon, eyes all puffy, she walked me over to the children's ministry, and she introduced me to McCall. And then things started to get better from there. By September, I was serving in the children's ministry, and I'd also begun serving on the modern worship team, and I was finding a place in these things helped tremendously. I'd increased my seminary studies from part-time to full-time, and there was a lot to be excited about. But 6 weeks into our homeschooling, we had a new challenge to overcome. The dynamics of me and our three children spending most of the time in a small apartment were causing some very unhealthy interactive patterns to begin. I had homeschooled Gabrielle. She was in kindergarten, and she was then in fifth grade, and that was the only thread I had left that tied our lives in Orlando to our new lives in Gainesville. And I cut that thread at the end of October, 2.5 years ago, and it was the best decision that I could have made. It was a hard decision, but it was a good decision, because immediately Gabrielle started to make new friends and to get engaged in activities here. My younger two had more time and freedom to just play and learn and be themselves. And I had more time to dedicate to my seminary studies. And looking back, those moments marked the beginning of us embracing our new life here in Gainesville. And since then, the tears have turned to new joys and new friendships and new opportunities to serve and lean into God and discover who we were created to be, what our meaning and purpose is here in this time. And now we've come full circle. 4 weeks from now, I get to graduate. Woo! And despite any of the challenges that we have faced, I am confident that God never abandoned us at any of those steps of the way. So, why am I telling you all this stuff about tears and hardship on a day that is joyous and should be so joy-filled because it is the excitement of a journey coming to one end of a stage and beginning another? Well, I'm telling you all of this because sometimes living by faith and responding to God's call and embracing all that that means for our lives hard. Sometimes it is really, really hard. A lot harder than we're willing to admit out loud, especially among those that we journey with or are called to lead in Christian community. Answering God's call has changed everything for our family. It's changed things I would have never chosen to change on my own. Do I still feel called? Absolutely. With eyes wide open to everything that that means, I can say yes. I feel called, and I will still keep going where God is leading. Why? Because I have learned that there is no place I would rather be than where the Spirit leads me, because that is where true liberty lies, and that is where I get to see the glory of God's blessings unfolding. And I'm also sharing this with you because I believe within every fiber of my being that the single most important thing that you can do with your life is to continually respond to God's call in your life by faith, and to continually become the person He has created you to be. Sometimes that means being willing to cut the threads that you are no longer called to weave, so that you can move on to the next thing God's called you to, and so that others can fully live into their calling and begin weaving where you left off. For Abram, this meant embracing a life of radical change, inward and outward. The same is required for each of us. Yet we naturally resist change, don't we? Anyone here love change? I've asked this of all the services, and again, not a single hand went up. No, we don't like change. Oh, you got one. I got one. Out of all three services, we've got one. Go see her. So this doesn't apply, but maybe you can find something useful. The rest of us, we don't like change because it's messy, messy business, and it brings with it these periods of unwanted uncertainty and transition. Walter Brueggemann hits the nail on the head when he describes the process of change, these periods we go through of transition, as movement from orientation, our world is as it should be, to disorientation, our world is turned upside down, to reorientation, our world is made right again. When God first spoke to Abram, He oriented Abram's life around a call and a promise that was rooted in God Himself. Having lived through our own experience of going, I can only imagine how disoriented Abram's family must have felt by the time they arrived in Canaan. And here's the thing about disorientation. It has an isolating effect. It causes us to question if we have heard God correctly or if we've even heard Him at all. Doubt and fear creep in. You can feel abandoned, lost, hopeless. And I believe this is why God appeared to Abram again and spoke to him. And this time we see God encouraging Abram by pointing out the land where his descendants are going to become a great nation. God was reassuring Abram that he had heard correctly, that he was on the right track, and his life is still being held in good, good hands. What was Abram's response? He gathered all the people that he had been journeying with, his family and all those with him, and they built an altar, and they worshipped. And as they worshipped, they celebrated God's faithfulness, and they acknowledged the milestone of all that had been accomplished up until that point. And in doing so, they renewed their hope for moving onward. They reoriented themselves, and they kept going. This became the pattern by which they journeyed on in stages to reach the Negev. Their routine was simple, but it was effective. Go, then stop, worship, and rest, reorient, go again. At Asbury Theological Seminary in Orlando, where I've been attending, there is a common saying, worship is the central act of the people of God. And I firmly believe this to be true. Worshiping together is the number one most effective way that we remind ourselves who and whose we are as God's people. It is the place where we are invited to come with our tears before a God who cares, in a community who cares. It's also the place where we are invited to share our greatest joys and triumphs with each other and give praise to God in the process. And it's where we learn to trust God further than we can see Him. And we journey together in that one step at a time. For me, worship and Holy Communion have been essential in my journey. But I've also learned to embrace other means of God's grace. Things like spending time daily in prayer and reading scripture and journaling, being out in nature, exercising, keeping Shabbat on Friday nights, meeting up with friends who will ask me, how is it with your soul? No, really, how is it with your soul? These very simple things have become very powerful means for God to reorient me when I am disoriented. Do you know what reorients you? Are you taking the time to explore those things or to engage in them regularly? We would like to think that Abram was a supernatural human being with supernatural faith. He wasn't. Still, Abram remains a worthy role model for each and every one of us. Abram demonstrated what it looks like to answer and keep answering God's call as he journeyed on in stages, responding again and again and again, and allowing God to reorient him when he got disoriented. The truth is, we don't need God to literally speak to us out loud or light bushes fire for us to be transformed and guided. The Holy Spirit is always reaching out to us, always calling us, always ready and able to guide and support and sustain us where God is leading. Like Abram, God created each and every one of us with a unique and a vital purpose to serve in God's kingdom at every age, in every stage of our life. The story of God's creation and God's redemption of creation and the salvation of humankind, it is still unfolding. And we are invited to join God in that mission. We are invited to continually respond with our very lives to wherever God is leading us next. God asked Abram to trust him farther than he could see him. God is asking the same from each and every one of us. Will you? God knows you by name and knows you better than you even know yourself. And God has a plan for each and every one of us. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope for a future. Your life is in good, good hands. Because your life is in God's hands. And so is our church. My friends, I pray that as we enter into this next chapter in ministry together, we will have the courage to trust God and to keep going where the Spirit is leading us. I pray that this is true for us individually and communally. And as we do, may we be abundantly blessed as we continue to be a blessing all those that we encounter. Amen.
If you're going to help us serve communion this morning, would you please make your way forward to make the stations ready? Our lives of faith are indeed a journey of stages. I like to think of it as journeying from grace to grace to grace to grace. And John Wesley calls us to this means of grace, called it the duty of constant communion. This is the nourishment we need to journey from stage to stage. And so as we prepare to gather, we remember the night when Jesus sat with his disciples and he took bread and he gave thanks to his Father in heaven and then broke the bread, offered it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, all of you. This is my body given for you." And when supper was over, he took the cup and again gave thanks to his Father in heaven and then offered it to his friends and said, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Nourish us, we pray. Help us to trust you farther than we can see you as we journey in this life together. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Methodist Church, the communion table is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or any church. You simply come. The Holy Spirit invites you to come. But all is ready to come and receive.
A joy to be with you all this morning. I am thrilled about the future that lies ahead of us. Will you stand and receive this blessing? Take the hand of the person next to you if you can reach them. May the God who has called you and continues to reorient you, guide you by His Holy Spirit in grace into all that He has planned for you, and by His grace may you continually respond to Him and
go with peace into all the world to love and serve Christ. Amen.